Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, and welcome to ScaryCast. What a wonderful show we've got tonight. Hey, how is everybody? Is that Robin?
Yes, it is.
Is Sonia there with us?
I am here.
I am so glad. We almost had a technology problem, but we got by it, so that's great. Anyway, this is Dr. John Stamey, and welcome to ScaryCast, the wonderful, scary thing that we do every week. And first of all, I want to introduce one of my co-hosts. This is Robin McCray. Robin, how are you doing tonight?
I am doing great, and I'm so excited. Sonia, it's so good to hear your voice. I enjoyed visiting with you in Georgia.
Yes, I enjoy visiting with you as well, so it's good hearing your voice, too.
This is great.
Absolutely, and we have Sonia Thompson, the world's most professional zombie, with us tonight. And so we're so glad to have you, Sonia. And thank you so much. Sorry, we almost had a technology problem, but we got through it and all is well. So anyway, thanks for being with us. And I wanted to say, first of all, tell us a little bit about Sonia Thompson, because you are the professional zombie. You have been on The Walking Dead. You've been on hundreds, and I mean hundreds, of great shows and everything. So tell us a little bit about what you do, because a lot of people don't know who you are.
Well, my website is professionalzombie.com. I have played a lot of roles. Let me go back a little bit. Before I became a professional zombie, I was just a regular actor. I started acting in school back, in grammar school and high school. And also, I would put on performances for my family. So, I mean, that's how it all kind of started. I enjoyed entertaining. And in high school, I was in chorus, and I was a singer and competed and stuff like that. And in my 20s, I was in a gospel music group that toured around. Also, in my 20s, I was a professional clown. So I've done a multitude of different ways of entertaining people. I've got a goal of making people smile. And I think that everybody should be, should have a good smile on their face and try to live life to its fullest. When my daughter was a senior in high school, around 2006, 2007, a friend of mine was in a movie. And it was filming in little old Athens, Georgia. And I asked him if I could bring my daughter to show her the end of the business because she was in musicals and stuff. So he told me to come dress in her dress like a semi-formal spring wedding. And so we went. They immediately put both of us in front of the camera. The casting director thought I had been doing this for a long, long time in film and TV. And so he started calling me after that. And I started out as a background actor, and then all of a sudden, before I knew it, I started getting lines and stuff like that in independent movies and different commercials and stuff. And then all of a sudden, I got my first zombie role. I had so much fun. It was awesome. And I just loved being all scary and gruesome with blood all over me. You know what I mean? Who could not love that, right? And
exactly.
Night of the Jackals. it was called Night of the Jackals. And so then the next year, I got an audition for Zombieland and ended up getting the role of the lunchroom lady that was supposed to have been reoccurring, but they didn't call me back. And then the next year, I became a zombie on The Walking Dead, and I was one of the hero zombies, and I was also a promotional model for The Walking Dead, which is maybe one of the most seen zombies in the world for promotion of The Walking Dead all over the world. And so I was in two seasons of The Walking Dead, and I've done some other things down in Florida and all over the United States. I was a zombie nun for a project down in Florida. I've been an electrocuted prisoner. I was a dead nurse on Halloween 2. I was a factory worker zombie on Ben 10 Alien Swarm. So I believe that I can fully classify myself as a professional zombie now.
That's fantastic. Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's cool, but now I've done other things. But I have done other things since then. Like I've directed, I've produced a documentary on Desert Storm. I've been in movies with William Baldwin and Kevin Sorbo, and I've done Bigfoot movies. I mean, I just try to do a multitude of different roles and different things, and that's what I enjoy doing. Like I say, I like to make people smile, and I love to entertain.
That's fantastic.
Absolutely. And now, Sonia, you gave me a copy of your movie. It was a Bigfoot movie at the Georgia Bigfoot Conference. Tell us about that Bigfoot movie.
Well, it's a very unique idea. The director, Mark Byrne, we filmed this up in West Virginia, by the way. And, there's this guy named William. He's a musician. He's been in several bands that opened up for – he was in a band that opened up for Ted Nugent. But anyway, and he runs a rock and roll school up there for kids. Really great guy. But anyway, we filmed on this property, and we were filming out on this – out by this river. And, you know, it's a Bigfoot movie out in West Virginia. I mean, it's just crazy thinking about it. But anyway, what he decided to do is have three short films. Two of the shorts were comedic, so you had two comedy portions and then one horror portion of it. And I was in the horror portion of it. So my husband and I were out in the woods in our tent, you know, and we're taking pictures and doing some studying of different creatures and wolves and stuff. And all of a sudden, I see a Bigfoot. And before I know it, I get back to camp, and he's attacked my husband. He's killed my husband, and then I'm trying to get away. And they made this really cool arm for me. And this guy named Matt, he made this arm out of his girlfriend's arm, and it went from my fingertips up to my shoulder. And the Bigfoot ripped off my arm. And so, once again, blood, you know, and I don't know what I – fake blood. It's fun, right?
Okay.
So I had a really good time. Yeah, I really did. I had a really good time screaming as the arms being ripped off, and it was a lot of fun.
Okie dokie. Now that sounds like.
Did you get a chance to watch it?
Interesting. I have not had a chance to watch it. I have it actually all over there on the table, and I look forward to getting to it as soon as I can. But you know. That's really interesting. So you played a real person.
Yeah, and most of my roles are real persons, so that's what's so crazy about me being a professional zombie, right? but I played the role of Mald, and so anyway, like I say, my husband and I were on a little adventure and doing some research and. And we're out in the middle of the woods, West Virginia, by a river. So it was fun.
I know I told my daughter I was going to talk to you tonight, and she said, Mom, who is she? And I told her, oh, my gosh, Mom.
Well, did you tell her you met me in person even?
Yeah, I did. She thought that was so cool. In fact, then I sent her pictures, because remember, we took pictures.
Absolutely.
So I sent her a picture, and she thought that was great. She loves The Walking Dead. And
oh, that's
awesome. not as much in these later seasons, but the beginning seasons, like the first three, I think it was like the first three or four seasons, she had to watch every one of them, record every one of them. So she was like so excited.
That's awesome. That really is cool. Yeah, there's a lot of Walking Dead fans out there. I've been over to Germany and met with a lot of fans over there, and they call the walkers biters in Germany.
Okay.
That's how it's translated over there. Yeah. So I'm a biter over there. so that's great. I love Germany, and I loved meeting all the fans in Germany. They're just so wonderful. I tell you, all the fans that I've met, like at horror conventions and things like that, they are just amazing people. And I love every single one of them. I mean, they're just really great, and they're good to us, and I try to be good to them. You know.
Yeah. Well, Walking Dead's got a huge fan base. I mean, everywhere you go, they know it. You know, like my daughter and my husband, they were just freaks over it.
Yeah, well, you know, I went out Friday night to a friend of mine. She was doing karaoke. She DJs down in Athens. I went out Friday night, and I walked in, and this guy started geeking out. And he hit his girlfriend, kind of knows his girlfriend, says, "Oh my God, oh my God." She's like, "What's wrong with you?" He says, "That's Sonya Thompson from The Walking Dead." And she says, "Oh, she's my friend." And she called me over. And it was so funny because he was geeking, totally geeking out. And I got a big kick out of that. It's pretty cool. I mean, not all the time do I get recognized like that, but it is cool when I do get recognized.
Well,
yeah, it's all the makeup. People don't realize it's you.
Yeah, but I will say that the makeup that they used on The Walking Dead, you can tell who it is. But on Zombieland, it's hard to tell who I am. You know, I'm not very recognizable. So.
Well, that's fantastic. You're really pretty diverse. I mean, you do a little bit of everything. You got it all going, girl.
I try to. I mean, I've been modeling since high school, and that's something that I love doing is modeling. And so when they asked me to be a promo model for The Walking Dead, I was like, well, yeah. And so I utilized my dancing skills, my breakdancing skills with that, and modeling.
If I would have known you could breakdance, I would have asked about that in Georgia.
Oh yeah, well, I can moonwalk. At one time in my high school years, I could spin around on the floor and do some stuff, but I can no longer do that. So, but I can still walk and, you know.
All wish we could do what we did in high school.
Yeah, I can still, you know, lock it. I can still do some cool stuff. They call it ticking. Well, a few years ago, I call it lock and popping, but they call it ticking. And so it's kind of cool, the different stages that the dancers go through over the years, the moves.
Yeah, exactly. So what have you got heading up in the future that we can be looking for you?
Well, there's a movie that hasn't came out yet that I filmed on 4 years ago with director Rick Prince. He was on season 5, I believe, of Face Off on Sci-Fi. And he's actually done my makeup before. A few years back, I did a zombie gig up in, I think it was Nashville. Yes, Nashville, Tennessee. Anyway, it was somewhere up in Tennessee. I had done this zombie gig, and he did my makeup for it. That was before I worked with him on this film. But he brought in Roy Woolley from Face Off and Steve Tallon and Eddie Driscoll. I think that's his last name. Anyway, Eddie, he was like the youngest on Face Off season 5. And they built monsters. They did the makeup. Steve Holland was over the stunts that I did, and I had a starring role in that, and I played the role of Catherine? Yeah, Catherine. And we're on a swamp tour, and all these creatures of course, come out after us and stuff. We filmed that up in Nashville, Tennessee, on right next door to Louise Mandel's property, and it's called LWA, All Saints Eve, and I heard it was supposed to be coming out soon. I'm just waiting. But it's going to be a really great movie. And it's got a lot of great people in it. Ashley Love Mills, she's been on a few TV shows and movies with Tyler Perry. And my friend Braylon Stokes, he's been on several big time movies and TV shows and stuff as well. And it's got a lot of great actors in it, and it was a lot of hard work. We were on location, and there was a lot of mosquitoes, a lot of ticks, but there was a lot of great action, and I really enjoyed doing my own stunts on that one. I've done my own stunts before on movies and TVs, but this one was a lot more involved, and even involved me having my ankle was attached to the guy who played my husband's ankle. And we were pulled across a field with like a four wheeler. So, yeah, it was pretty intense. Yeah. But I got to use my weapons training in it and all this kind of stuff. I go shooting and doing things like that. So it's kind of cool to be able to actually have a gun and utilize it in that. So that'll be coming out soon. I'm waiting on that. And that'll be a pretty big deal. It's got, you know, some big names in it. So, hey, there you go.
It sounds fantastic. You're going to have to keep us updated so we know when to look for it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And then the movie, well, the documentary that I produced, it's called Storm, To Sandra from Hayden with Love, and it's about a couple and their journey. He was over at Desert Storm fighting for our country, and she was home trying to not freak out while he was over there, not knowing if he was okay or not. And anyway, they did videos back and forth to each other, and there's videos of – we've got footage of some of the action and stuff over there, and all we put all of this together, and it's a finished product. We're just in the process now of getting distribution, and you know, that'll be out soon enough as well. So that'll be something
great
to look out
for. Forward to seeing it.
And I was in another, and I was in a documentary called An Author's Journey with Stephen Simmons as myself. So that's something to check out too. I'm very versatile. I do a lot of different things, but I do love the horror genre of the movies.
I'm amazed because I didn't realize that you were so diverse as far as everything that you're doing. That's fantastic.
Oh, thank you. And I'm an artist too. I don't know if you knew that. I'll throw that in as well.
Really? No. I'd like to see some of your stuff.
Tell us about
it. Did you have it in Georgia?
I had some of it with me. Actually, I had a Bigfoot that I had painted onto an old vinegar jar and turned it into a penny jar, and it sold right off. Right,
I was going to say,
you
know, I never got to see it.
Within an hour of being there. Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic.
That was really kind of a cool thing that you had, Sonia. It really was. And it's like all of a sudden you said, you know, I've got this. This is great. And then it's like I came by and said, hey, you said the Bigfoot jug sold. I said, oh, my God.
I never even got to see it. I was so busy.
Yeah, it went quickly.
Day, and by the time I got there, it was all gone.
Well, it was pretty cool. I mean, you know, that was a great convention, the Bigfoot convention, by the way. That was a really great conference.
Didn't John do a great job? I'm so proud of him. It turned out
I'm
fantastic.
Proud of him as well.
Oh, thank you. You folks are so nice about that. We worked really hard. We had a lot of folks there. I got to say that the Rabun County Chamber of Commerce was such a lot of help in making that thing happen, and I can't thank them enough. So, you know, they were there, and they allowed me to like go around and you know kind of make everything happen, and it was really good. And Sonia, it was wonderful having you there, 'cause I'll tell you, that was a huge event. I mean, we had like 350 people there. And, you know, if anyone doesn't understand what 350 people are, I mean, that's a lot of folks. And I really can't thank you and Kip Ramey and the whole bunch.
Yeah, gotta love Kip.
Oh, we gotta love Kip. And just having you folks
can't love
there,
Kip.
you just can't say enough good things about Kip Ramey. You really can't. In fact, we're going to have him. We're going to have him on ScaryCast in a couple of weeks. And thanks to him. And he's just a wonderful guy. And
he is.
The
his
ability...
wife is just as lovely as he is.
Oh, my God.
Yep,
his wife, Cora Lee, she's a monster cool lady. She really is.
She is.
She's like the two of you. Now, I'm pointing. I know you can't see it, but I'm pointing at Sonia, and I'm pointing at Robin, and she is as cool as you guys are. She really is. So I got to thank both of you for being there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I met Robin, and I have to agree with that.
Ah, thank you. I had so much fun with you, and she was so precious. We went to this restaurant. And I'm from the north, okay? I'm in a southern world, but I'm from the north. And so now that I'm down here, and she was standing there, and I saw her. She says, "So how's your mama and daddy?"
Yeah,
isn't that what you said?
I said, so I said, "How's your mom and daddy doing?"
And I was like,
"She's been doing great. She's been
hook, line, and sinker, baby." And I'm like, "Oh my God, she knows my family." It was hysterical.
It was so funny.
And I didn't know what to say.
Well, for one, it was so hilarious because there was this other girl in between us that didn't know either one of us, you know, and she was Southern. She knew what I meant, you know. And
it was hysterical. I just wanted to hug her. She was just priceless.
Well, you did hug me.
I think I did. I'm a hugger. I hug everybody. I'm sorry. I'm a hugger. Yeah, I should have been born in the South because I'm all about the manners and the hugging and the friendly and everything like that. And I wasn't. Like, I was mismatched. I was born in the North, and I'm a Michigan girl. Love Michigan. Just putting that out there for all you Michigan
Michigan's
people.
Great.
But I do. I love my Michigan. And I came down here because I have grandchildren here. I have grandchildren in Michigan as well, but I was able to spend some time with them, and I absolutely love them. They are my heart and soul. My granddaughter in Canada, same way. She owns me, and she knows it. But I had three grandchildren down here, and they didn't have any grandparents around for them. And my husband and I just really felt like it was so important that they had some time with grandparents. So we moved up, packed up, came south. Now, hey, I said my first y'all the other day. I was so excited. I was like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. You know, so I'm getting there. I'm getting there.
We should have a y'all over
party
for you.
Somebody said to me the other day, you're getting a Southern accent. I was so proud.
Oh, Lord. Yeah, we should have you like a over yonder party, and then everybody could figure out where yonder's at.
That's right. I've been looking for yonder my whole life. My thing is up the road. Everything is up the road. Instead of yonder, it's up the road. It's up the road.
Now, but you know, in the South, up the road could be 30 miles.
In Michigan, it could be the other side of the state. I'm just telling you. You could be across the bridge and in the upper UP with that one.
Oh, my.
Oh,
but
goodness.
I had so much fun with you. You are just absolutely a beautiful soul. It was a pleasure to be able
you
to talk
well.
To you and sit with you. Oh, thank you. But we definitely have to stay in touch because I was so excited. John said that we were doing this podcast with you, and I'm like, yes! Because we just didn't have enough time to chat. I wanted more time with you.
No, we didn't. No, it was a very busy function. So
it was, and that event was, I was so pleased that that event was beautiful. Like, John just outdid himself. It was fantastic. The people that were in, and I mean, we had some great speakers, and I was able to work with some people off the side on top of it, which I love to do. So that, you know, made me happy. In fact, those people still call me now that I'm home. And so it just
was
one of the best events I've gone to. And I had a friend that came in from Massachusetts just because she knew I was going to be speaking there. And so she rented a house in the woods for us, and we got to spend time there too. So the event was just magical. It really was.
Well, I have a question for you. Since it's so magical, did you see Bigfoot? I mean, while you're in the woods?
Actually, yes. It was really funny. That usually happens wherever I go. We were actually, the house that she rented me was this four-bedroom, supposed to be a cabin. It was a house, okay? I can't believe people live like this house was. It was phenomenal. But we were sitting there, and I was talking to William Henry and Janice Carter and also my friend Alyssa. And we were sitting there, and William was looking at me, and I was actually facing these two gigantic windows that I just want to put out were over 10 feet off the ground. And I literally watched two go by the window, and William saw the reflection off my glasses. So he saw them as well.
Wow, that's
and
cool.
I knew they were there the night before because we were there for 4 days. And the night before, I had went out on the back deck, and Igor Borstev was there. And he had bought, when he came to my house, he found these binoculars that also have night vision. And he said to me, do you think that we would use these? And I said, I don't know about you, but I'm going to use them like crazy. So he bought them so that we would have them here at the house. And I used them constantly. And just for the record, he went back to Russia yesterday. Guess who has possession of the glasses? I'm just saying, they're still here.
Yeah, cool.
He says, I think we're going to co-own these. Yeah.
Very neat fellow. Very neat guy.
Yeah, he's unique. I just love him. So I kept going out on the deck at night. In the middle of the night, I would wake up, because I wake up several times during the night. I mind speak, and the Bigfoots are talking, and the dogmen, and the ghost, and any dimensionals, you name it, it talks. And so I'm up and down all night, and I would go out there, and I'd use these glasses, and have a camera in them. So I've got to upload them to see if I got anything. But there were several that were actually out there, and then we would have tapping on the windows all night long. And so it was really comical, because I'm talking to William, and he was talking about this video that apparently they talked about me and that I didn't even know existed. And I'm like, okay. And at first he thought I was just kind of had like a shock look at my face, and he looks at my glasses and he saw them at the same time I did. And he's like, oh my God, you just saw 2 foots go across the window. And I'm like, how did you know that? He said, because I just saw the reflection in your glasses. So yeah, we actually did. And then when I was at the conference, you know, there's a lot of woods around that conference, and they were just mind speaking like crazy. So they were really all over the place. And then John actually had a sighting. Was it right before the conference or after then?
Now, which one was it now? Tell me.
What was it, the one had, that you saw? You were talking to me and it ran into the woods? Wasn't that the Georgia? Don't you remember?
No, that was actually Tennessee. I mean, Tennessee was the craziest thing, because, you know, I'm standing there. It was at Tennessee, and so there I am standing with William Henry, and he said, there are a ton of stick structures. I said, oh my God, you're right, because I was so busy trying to run the conference. And so we walked out there. There were 4 stick structures. And then, you know, I turned around, and then I looked around, and my God, there was a Bigfoot walking. Absolutely.
This happened before the Georgia conference, because you had went up there to take posters or flyers or something up there, and you called me. You were by yourself. Because you were telling me you were fixing to head back, and you heard a rustling in the bushes. And when you turned, you were on the phone with me. You were by yourself. It was right before. It was before the conference.
Oh my God! You're right. That was when.
Okay. Here,
that
I thought
was
I was going crazy.
No, that was when. Here's what happened. So I'm standing there in Lakemont, Georgia, and all of a sudden I hear sticks breaking and everything, and I looked over there. And then I saw something come, you know, flying by, just running as fast as it could. But I really couldn't see it.
Yeah, you had me on the phone, and you're going, oh, my God, remote view this. Tell me what it is. And I said, it's a foot. It was like a reddish-brown Bigfoot.
Well, Robert,
and
did you
said,
go
yes.
on that expedition on that Sunday with us at a woman?
I didn't. No, I
okay,
was
so
going
like,
to.
Well, I decided to go last minute because I was like, okay, all right, I'm going. And plus, you know, a lot of people, they think it's cool if I go with. Anyway, so I decided to be up front with Kip. There's about 18 total of us. And his wife stayed in the rear to make sure nobody got lost or anything like that, you know.
Yeah.
And so they were toward the back. And so we're me and Kip and a couple others were up front, and we come in the curve of the trail, and he says, I found a deer carcass right here, and he was telling us about it, and he said that he came back 10 minutes later and it was gone, and there wasn't any way for it to have jumped up and left or anything, and he said it had not been dragged off or nothing. So we go on up the trail a little bit. And then we hear Igor calling us back. Well, we go back, and I can't remember the lady's name that was with me in the black hair. We go back, and she's standing exactly where Kip just told us that we found the deer. He says, this is where I found the deer, and that was the same exact place. And they did not hear him tell that story. And there was some brush up there with some branches that were in the form of a cross, an X. And they told us that was a sign of Bigfoot. And I just was like, at that point, I was tripping out. So toward the end, when we were waiting on them to come back, which, of course, Igor, he would walk by a tree, and he goes, That tree is very, very interesting. It is very suspicious looking. So
yeah.
I've been walking around talking like a Russian now. But it was great.
Hey,
it was a really
like
good
a Russian since he left.
So it was a really cool little adventure. But afterwards, I was videotaping myself. I was like, I wonder if Bigfoot is behind me now, you know. And so he could have been, you know. Who knows?
Well, they cloak, so they can. I've had him be cloaked and come up behind me and play with my hair. entirely possible.
Yeah. So anyway, but yeah, that was a really cool experience. I enjoyed it. I'm ready to go back up there.
Yeah, I wanted to go, but we had this huge table that had all kinds of books of Igor's on there, and then I had John's books there as well. And no, my phone was the only one that could ring up credit card orders. Nobody else's could. So I was nominated to stay and man the booth.
There you go. That works.
Yeah, it did. It was fine. But yeah, I heard it was quite exciting. So that's great.
It was. It was. It was really cool. It was really cool.
It's
I enjoyed it.
Fun.
So.
Yeah, they are a lot of fun. Like I said, and I tell everybody, there's good ones and there's bad ones, but it is a lot of fun. You know, I mean, I've been doing this since I was a toddler, so, yeah.
Well, and now that I've been in a Bigfoot movie, I feel so much closer to it, you know? So,
yeah. Well, we've got, of course, I've got them all around my house anyway, but we had one that was coming up on the porch last night. We found footprints off the porch, and
wow.
I don't know what it was. Well, they do. I've got a video of one sitting on the porch. And then if you look over by the cars, it's real cloudy because it was done on the security cam. You can see a large white figure walking in between my cars while the other one sits on the porch. And so I saw this. Jan and I were sitting there watching it in the house because there's an app on your phone so you can see what's going on. And we didn't want to go over by the porch because we didn't want to scare it off. And so the next day I went out there and I said, okay, we're going to check this out to get an idea how big this guy is because we thought we knew which one it was and it wasn't. And so I went and I sat down there. You could not tell I was there from the security cam. And yet the video that we have is just this huge black figure sitting. I mean, it was sitting on the porch. Now, we've got them all over here. We've got a ton of them. There's like four clans here. But we've got a female and a youngster and then the dad, and that is around here constantly. And we knew that the youngster came up on the porch because we've caught him. I have a bowl on my porch that's anchored to my banister for feral cats, and I keep food on it so that the wild cats have got food because I feed everything. And so he's come up there and grabbed the cat food out of that many times, and we've caught him. So we just assumed it was him. And I thought, it looks kind of big, but that's, you know, we knew he went up there. And then I went out there and sat, and he's about my size, and you couldn't see me. I mean, at all.
Well, you know, I guess he gets the munchies, and so he's, you know, nibbling on your cat food. So.
Oh, they do. They get the cat food, I think, more than the cats do. But yet, I'll go out, and I'll put stuff out for them, and it's very random if they take it. But yet they have no problem swiping the cat food. You know, I'm like, really? If I just feed you cat food, will you take that? You know? Or they'll tell me what
That's
they want.
Funny.
I'll get it. I'll put it out there, and they don't want it. And I'll say, why aren't you taking it? One night they wanted turmeric, and they were just hell-bent they had to have turmeric or their world was going to end. And it was like 8:30 at night. I'm like, fine. So I drive to Walmart at 8:30 at night. I buy turmeric. And while then they're telling me they wanted organic ginger, so I got the ginger, I got the turmeric, and it's in glass bottles. You know, it's the way it came because I got the organic for them. I said, where do you want it? They told me where to put it. I put it. They never took it. So finally, a couple days later, I said, you drug me out of bed at 8:30 at night. I mean, it was cold. It was rainy. It was wintery time here. And I said, you didn't take it. And they said, we don't like what it's in. I said, you mean the glass bottle? That's what it came in. No, we don't like that. We're afraid of it. And I said, you don't have a problem with glass any other time when you're running through the trash. And they said, put it out for us. I said, no, I'm not pouring it on the ground. It will dissolve in the weather. You know, but I try to be a good puppet. I go get at their stuff when they want it.
Oh, goodness. That's good.
Well, yeah.
Hey, as long as you're pacifying, then that's all that counts, right, John?
That is absolutely right. I mean, you know, if they say do this, do this. I used to, and actually several times I put apples out, mm-hmm. and they have taken them.
Yeah, one loves you.
As well, I mean, I'm glad they like me because, I mean, you know, I like them and I think they're great. But, you know, you do things because it's important. And it was really cool. You know, I've still got some apples in the refrigerator. And as soon as I am told, I will put some more apples out. I mean, just, you know, you don't do it until you're told. Right, Robin?
Exactly. They know how they like things. But, you know,
you're told.
Yeah, there is giving, though, as they expect us to be. I will say that. I mean, we had Hurricane Florence that was coming, and I had a tree that had been trying to fall down for a long time, but it had all those vines like they've got all over the place here in South Carolina, and that was the only thing really holding it up. But the way its projected path of falling would have taken out my garage and my bonus room.
Uh-huh.
But it was like a 30-foot tall tree, and I couldn't find anybody that would come get it down, and I didn't have anything here to cut it down. So it was kind of like hanging there. We had Hurricane Florence coming, and I thought, and there was no way it was not going to hit my house. Just absolutely no way.
Yes.
And I remember standing on the porch going, you know, guys, it would be really, really cool if I could get some assistance with this, because, you know, the bonus room and the garage are there, and it's going to take the whole thing out, like, really. And I'm, like, really freaking out about it. And I went in the house, and I have mini pigs, and we have an attached garage, and it's turned into like the pig suite. They've got their litter box and their pool and all their toys and everything in there. And I was out there cleaning it for them before the storm hit, because I knew I was going to have to lock them in there during the storm. And I heard this whoosh sound, and then wind just come flying in the window in the garage. And I thought, what in the world? I mean, was it a tornado? What? I go running outside. I don't see anything.
Yeah.
And I thought, I know I'm not crazy. So I happened to walk out in the backyard, and I'm looking around, and that tree was not only down, it was moved. The trunk was pulled behind the stump, and instead of it, the top of it that would have hit the house was snapped, but it wasn't snapped up. It was snapped down so that when it did come down, it wouldn't hit anything, and then it was moved off to the side probably 10 feet from the house. And there was no humanly possible way that would have ever happened.
Yeah.
And as soon as I went out there and I saw it.
Yes, Sonia.
What?
Well, I've heard stories from, which I have Native American roots, and I've heard that the Native Americans, they saw Bigfoot as being a protector of the land.
Yeah.
And
they
worked together.
Yeah, there were certain tribes, I mean, not a lot of them, but there were certain tribes that they fought with, but primarily they were very copacetic with the Native Americans, and a lot of the Native American legends are all good. I've got a friend of mine that lives on the Navajo Reservation in Arizona, and I was very fortunate one time where he had a couple of the Native Americans speak to me about what was going on with the Bigfoot there, and they seemed to get along just fine. And now, if it goes as planned, one of the chiefs is actually working to try to get them protected there, which I just think is amazing. But, you know, they can do good. You know, if they're treated well, then they try to treat people well. It doesn't mean they're all nice, but our people aren't all nice.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I mean, I would rather be out in the woods with 100 Bigfoot that I don't know than somewhere with 100 people of ours that I don't know.
That's true.
I'll take the
Bigfoot
any day of the week.
Now, Sonia, I want to ask you a question. Do you, because I don't know where you live. I know you're in Northeast Georgia, but do you live in an area, is your homestead, is it a kind of area where Bigfoot could be?
You know, over my parents live, where I grew up at is about 5 maybe 5 minutes from where I live. And we had a wooded area behind us, a forest behind us. And so bears have been spotted down there before. My dad taught me to track deer and bear and stuff when I was younger, and I'd go hunting with him and stuff. But, of course, I never killed a deer. But anyway, it is, I guess it's possible. I mean, because if you see bears here, then there's a possibility you see them as well. But I hear big cats sometimes, you know, it sounds like a woman screaming, you know, stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I hear coyotes from my backyard. I mean, you know, and I've seen foxes in the backyard and stuff, too. So,
well, Sonia,
you know, it's very possible.
To tell you, you have an open invitation to come to my place, babe. We're Bigfoot Central.
Okay.
You are welcome to come and spend
great.
The weekend. John can contest. We have lots of extra bedrooms.
Oh, my
okay.
Lord. It's like you
go
there
on,
and
this is the place.
And Robin, I hate to say this, and I mean this in all, you know, as nice as I can be, you know, you drive in there, it's at nighttime, the lights are on, and it is Adam's Family Central. It just is.
Oh, my.
We've only got two ghosts, and they're generally behaved, okay? I can't attest to all the other creatures running around. Sonia, I have pictures of ETs here, cat people here, dog people here, Bigfoot here, lizard men, you name it, all in my backyard. I have pictures of them.
Well, there you go.
And what I was going to say is, Sonia, you know, if you've got a place like that, could we come out, you know, sometime in the next couple of months and just – hang out at your place? Because I think, you know, this is what I believe. I think you've got a lot of Bigfoot and a lot of cryptids out there. Would you be okay if we came out and hung out?
Well, I would have to, because I live almost in the city atmosphere where I'm at. But I'd have to get the forest behind my parents is owned by somebody else, so I'd have to get total permission from them first. So it had to be one of those things because.
Yeah, well, you know.
Well, we would
we'll see love what we can
it
do.
You,
I
love
just,
it
I just have
you and John and everybody.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, John, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, please go ahead.
No, I was going to say we need to set up a weekend while it's cooler weather because it's, I mean, we live on the sun here, let's be real. So while it's cooler, let's set up a time and get Sonia and John and the whole gang, and we'll just camp out at my house for the weekend, see what trouble we can find.
Oh, goodness.
Well, I know we can find some because there's a portal right
there's
past
three of them.
Her house, Robin, just right past the
I know,
road.
I've got
oh,
pictures
my.
Of it.
We got one
across the driveway and two by the house, and that's before the ones
okay.
are in the backyard, but I even have pictures of them, and in one of the pictures, there's a head of something coming out of it.
Oh, goodness. My brother, the house he used to live in, had a portal in it, and there was all sorts of activity and stuff, and which they sold it now, and I wonder how the new owners, if they've ever seen anything, you know. But it's very interesting. But, yeah, there's a lot of stuff around here, which Kip's not that far from me. You know that, right? I mean, Kip and his
what
wife, they live like maybe.
Oh, really?
Kip Ramey only lives. Yeah, he doesn't live that far from me. So he
Ooh,
might
wow.
have a better piece of property. Yeah, he's on the other side of town. And I'm on one side, he's on the other side. But I think he's got a little bit more property than I do with woods and stuff possibly out that way. So it might be worth checking him too. We could maybe all get together and meet at his place or something.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'll give him a call tomorrow morning because the only time I can call Kip is like 6 a.m., you know? call me at 6 a.m. and I can talk to you and all that. But, yeah, no, we'll do that, and we'll see if we could do something like that. An expedition would be fun with you, Sonia.
Yeah.
It really would. And all
yeah,
I got to say is – What?
I was going to say, there's also Hurricane Shoals Park, which they're closed right now. But that used to be considered holy ground in Jackson County by the Indians, by the Creek and Cherokee Indians.
Then
so it was said
there.
That the Great Spirit, It was said that the Great Spirit walked on two legs there, and no blood was to be shed. But I've actually, there's some orbs and all that kind of stuff down in one area that, I mean, we've caught some orbs and stuff like that down there, which is really cool. It's a neat place.
I'd love to go there.
And, yeah, you guys would probably really enjoy that. And there's also a bike trail that I've been down, kind of creepy, where I went mountain biking and stuff here in town. So, but yeah, that'd be cool.
That sounds like fun. But yeah, I definitely want to get you out here for a weekend too.
Okay, yeah, sweet. It'd be awesome.
Yeah, usually there's something going on. Maybe we'll get lucky. We've got two spirits here in the house. We've got two spirits that have identified themselves in here, plus all the other creatures and people out in the woods. So, and now it's spread over to my poor neighbor. My poor neighbor next to me. I warned her it was going to happen, and now she sees the foots in her yard all the time as well. So.
I went to an estate sale this morning. And I was walking about, and I walked into the lady's bedroom, and I picked up a blanket, and I said, "Oh, you know, that's reasonably priced. You know, I could use that in my business." And then there was a throw blanket, and I picked it up. But when I picked it up, I could feel the lady, and I was I just immediately put them back. I put both of them back down. I said, "Nope, that's it. You're not coming home with me."
Because you don't know what you're going
to
get.
And I had to take it off. Yeah, I had to shake it off. I was like, nope, you can keep it. You can keep it. So I immediately fled the house and went out to the shed where all the tools and stuff were at and bought some cool stuff out there. But I was just like, oh my gosh. So when I go to estate sales, I have to kind of be I had to wear my protection a little bit more and everything. But yeah, I totally felt the tingling when I picked that up, and I was like, nope, you're staying. You're not coming home.
Smart lady. I tell you, that was probably the smartest move you ever made.
Oh, goodness.
Yeah, it's amazing how things wander home.
and I mean, it can. You know, I had a friend, she was having some paranoia type stuff and with the paranoia and stuff. And I told her, I said, you know, with all this estate sale stuff that you buy and these things, you need to be cleansing yourself. You know, you need sage, you need to cleanse yourself, you need to cleanse the items that you get. Because that's what she does. She buys and sells estate items, which I do some of that myself, but I have a few pieces here and there. But I always try to sage things.
Yeah. Yep. Craziness. What would we do without the craziness?
Yeah.
Because I know, as crazy as it gets in my life, especially with all of that stuff, is just off the charts on a calm day. But then I think, what would my life be if I didn't have that? And I wouldn't want it. I love it exactly the way it is. I wouldn't change a thing. The good and the bad.
Yep. Did you see the guy at the Bigfoot conference that was selling the cool necklaces that he made out of copper and stuff?
I met him. Those were really cool. Was he the one that did it with the pine cones and the copper?
He was over in the corner. Yeah, he was over in the corner at the wall, and I bought one of his pieces. I bought one of his crystals with the copper encasing that he had made.
Andy Markham. Oh, we love Andy.
Yeah.
He also paints.
Yeah.
And I've got, my house has got all kinds of paintings from Andy.
it was so funny because I was telling Kip about it, and he went over there, and he said, "Sonia, when I got closer, some of the necklaces started moving, and then when I step away, they would stop moving." Like, yeah, it's cool. Well, John, do you have anything else you want to ask, or
you there, John? John? Well, I think John's got technical trouble going on over there, but that's all right because those girls got it. There he is.
Can you hear me?
There he is.
Can you hear me
now?
There you are.
Yeah. I gotta tell you guys something interesting that happened to me this morning, because I was speaking with I was speaking with one of the she squatchers with Tanya, and she is just amazing. And she actually did a little bit of a ritual that got rid of my back pain, because I had had back pain for like 3 months. And so she said, I've got to do this before I leave. You have got a problem. And I said, I know I do. And so she took me out there and she like got rid of all these things. And so this morning she told me about how to do a smudge, because over in Johnson City, Tennessee, and you know, and I hate to move from Georgia to Johnson City, you know, she said, you know, there are some things in that house. And what she was talking about is Montrose Court, which is it's a place where Al Capone was. And apparently a lot of people got killed there. And she said, you got to be very careful about that thing. Yep. And I said, well, how do you go about doing a smudge? Because everybody talks about it, but I've never done it. And here's what she said. Actually, I've never done it, and it's a two-step process. First of all, you get a container, and you start burning the sage. And she said, as long as it burns, let it burn, number one. And then number two, she said, what you've got to do is you've got to go to all the corners of all of the rooms and put bay leaves there. She said, that will help contain and keep everything out. And I said, wow, I had no idea. So we're going to go do that in Johnson City at this young lady who's – condo is apparently haunted from the Al Capone group. So anyway, she taught me how to do it on the phone, and she's so wonderful. I mean, in fact, she's one of the she squatchers, and I'm sure both of you probably met them. But I'll tell you what.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I had no idea how to do that. So she taught me how to do it on the phone, and I'm going to go do it. And we're going to get rid of that mess that's there. I mean, because
you need to
take, you know,
get like sea salt. I use sea salt only because it's more of a raw form of salt than like the iodized.
Yeah, that's what I use.
And take your sea salt and go all the way around the perimeter of each room and across the doorway to make it all the way back to the beginning of it. So there's nothing open.
Mm-hmm.
It's all clout. And then you also do it on your windowsills across the windows, and it helps as well.
Well, maybe we do that along with the bay leaves and along with the smudging, because I mean, you know, I got to get rid
of this.
You're going
to notice too, when you do your smudging, watch the smoke as it comes up. If you hit a really bad pocket where there's a really negative entity there, it'll start smoking more than it did anywhere else. Like, it'll be really noticeable. It'll just go from regular smoke to all of a sudden just this huge amount of smoke will start coming up. And then when you move away from that area and once it clears it out, then your smoke will go down normal again.
Okay. Well, thank you. And I mean, and I'll let everybody know on ScaryCast next week or week after, whenever I get up there, I'll let you know how it goes. And thank you.
Yeah. And you're going to get hold of me first so I can bubble you before you go in there.
Yes, ma'am, I will, because you have bubbled me before, and you have helped protect me from the most awful things, and I know that. And I wanted to say thank you, Robin, for everything that you've done.
Oh, I'd do anything for you. You're my bestie.
I'll tell you what. It's crazy the things that we go into when we do, you know, when we run ScaryCast, when we run Murder 123,
exactly.
And all this, and Monday night's Murder 123. And Sonia, we would love to have you on Murder 123 sometime soon.
Fantastic. Okay. And I want to say one thing. When we were talking about the she squatchers and the smudging and all this, it is so important to get information on this stuff from many people and combine it, because there are no experts in any of these fields, any of them. I don't care who you are. If they say they are an expert, run, because you're in trouble. There are no experts. So it's so important when we get information from She Squatchers or anybody, and you know, and you take everything you hear from everybody and you combine it and you individualize it for you, but you also find a way to stay safe, to enjoy the research, but still have a good time and to protect yourself. So I was just putting that
out there.
Absolutely. And I'm so glad to be talking to two ladies that obviously know about this. And when I go up there to Johnson City, and Tony Filosi and I are going to do, let me tell you the deal. Tony, and I'm going to go ahead and announce this. I don't really care.
Well, I'm coming with you guys. I am not staying home for that one.
Well, we may as well say it. There is black mold in that basement of Modest Court. And we've got to be careful about that. And I talked about that with Tony this morning. And he said, yeah, you're right, John, because, you know, and I showed him those photos that I showed you, Robin, and Janice. And he said, oh, my God, I had no idea that there was black mold down there. I'm glad you showed me the photos. And so what we got to do is we got to be very careful. And what he's going to do is he's going to bring some some masks so that it can kind of like protect us from that. But I'll tell you what, we're going to be protected from it, but we're going to go down there and we're going to run a spirit box thing. And Janice Carter obviously knows how to do this. And so do you. And Sonia, have you ever run a spirit box?
I have not. I've heard of them and I know of people that have done it.
Well, you know, maybe we'd love to have you. No, we would love to have you come up there. But we're going to do that, and we're going to find out who is down there in the basement of Montrose Court. And I think it's Al Capone. I really do.
That's what I was about to say. I feel like it's Al Capone. That was the first thing that came to my mind.
I feel like he's definitely, I mean, obviously he's not buried there, but he's in and out of there.
No, but he's
there. Not gone
out
of there. Yeah, I agree.
That was the first thought that came to my mind with Al.
If that is your first thought, then that's probably correct. And so I had no idea that you were so perceptive. And Sonia, this is great. You know, we're on ScaryCast. We're talking about doing investigations about, you know, the unknown, the paranormal, and we're going to go up there, and Tony is going to be there. He's got a lot of equipment, and so I'll invite both of you up there. We'll let you know when we're going to do it, and it's going to be absolutely an amazing time. But anyway,
And I just want to say, keep in mind that Ghost Nation now is going in on some people's, like if you've got a problem with a place that you're investigating, then there, you know, you can contact them. And if it's something that they want to go and look at themselves, they'll go in and try to see if they can come up with answers as well and help you, you know, get the person that called them to help do the investigation. They're airing on the Travel Channel now. So that used to be the Ghost Hunters with Jason and them, and now they're a Ghost Nation.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot for that. And Sonia, we'll contact you about. In fact, I'm gonna give you a call right after this show, and then Robin.
Okay.
I want to talk to both of you about this because you know this is very important, and when we go in and we start trying to investigate, It's very important that we get people that are qualified and understand how to do this. So all I got to say is thanks to both of you. And we've had the most this has been the most marvelous hour of ScaryCast I think that I have ever been on. We're sorry Devin couldn't be here. He'll be here tomorrow night. And by the way, Robin, now, who are we going to be interviewing tomorrow night?
This is going to be fun. We are going to interview my hubby. He has got a lot of things he can tell. He's a phenomenal mind speaker. Oh, my God. He blows me away on a daily basis. Not to mention the fact that he lives with all of my craziness. Like he's just such a an awesome guy. He goes with the flow. He has seen so much stuff being around me that it just is mind-boggling. And it's to the point now where it's like, oh, look at honey, a foot just ran across the yard. Okay, that's fine. You know, and he comes out of the shower one day and he said, okay, we have a male spirit here. I said, I know, I told you there's an older guy and a young girl. He said, well, the male guy's name is, and he just showed up while I'm taking a shower. Like, oh, my God.
Sonia, it's crazy when you go to Robin's house because there are spirits there. Here's the deal. So everybody is sitting in her living room, and I heard something running down the stairs, and I ran there because I knew that there was nobody else in the house, and I saw nothing. I felt this huge spirit, and it was this little young girl that lives in Robin's house, Robin, you remember I ran. I knew something was there. I knew someone was there.
And bless his heart, he always looks at me like nobody's worked up about it. And I'm like, this is the normal. You know, the first time he came out, he said, boy, I hope we get some Bigfoot activity. And then they scared the crap out of him. So the poor guy comes in the house. And then he walks out on the back porch talking to me. And one belly crawls across the yard.
Well, here's what happened.
Wow.
I'm going to go ahead and I want to absolutely describe what happened. So Robin and I are standing outside on her back porch, and I saw this light gray. It was like a light gray thing that was going
right
around
the ground.
And I looked up and to see if anyone upstairs was shining a light, and they weren't. And oh my God! And then Maestro, you know, Rob Kelly, Maestro, he and I are standing out there in the front. There is no wind going on ever. It is just dead quiet. And then all of a sudden, the trees are just going crazy. It's like.
Zerky was out in the yard that night. She was just having a fit.
Yeah, and I looked at Rob. I said, do you see that? He said, yeah, I do, John. And he didn't want to talk about it anymore. So, and I'm going to give him a call a little bit later tonight, but I'll tell you what. There is so much activity at your house, Robin, and it is wonderful.
I want to
thank you for opening your house up to me. And
Well,
I tell you what, I really appreciate it. It was so wonderful. But I'll tell you what, Sonia, this place is crazy cool. There is more stuff going on than you have ever seen.
Yeah.
And it's like,
but
it's all good.
Like, I work really hard to push a lot of good energy into the ground here and in the house. Mm-hmm. And we did have a situation a few weeks ago where something negative had got in, and I got rid of that real quick. It's peaceful and it's calm, and the foots know they're safe here. We had a situation where up the road from me, here I go with my up the road, we have a swamp up there, and one of the foots had got hold of me and said, hurry, hurry, help, there's men with guns. And I was just leaving my house, and so I turned out the driveway. I said, where are you and who are you? And he says, you're going to see me soon. Hurry, help, come quick. So I'm driving down the road, and here over in the swamp are three men with guns doing whoop calls into the back of the swamp. And he was back there. I saw him, and I told him, I said, go to the house. You know, Pat's not going to anybody near you because Pat defends them just like I do. And that's the beauty of Pat and I, is because I can just let it all hang out, and he knows everything that goes on, and he's okay with it. He knows his stuff, and he also knows that when I have to do my work with the foots, he just stands back and lets me do it and says, babe, I'm here when you need me. It doesn't get any better than that. I'm telling you, I just love him. And
that's
so
awesome.
I said, go to the house because Pat's there. You know, they're not going to get you there. And he did. He hung around for about 7 to 10 days before he finally left. But you know, we try to really spin the positive energy here. We do. Like I said, things creep in now and then, and it gets dealt with immediately, and then they are no more, and we go back to the good stuff, you know. So it's pretty nice here. It's like I said, it's crazy on a calm day. You know, like I had somebody that had contacted me that just wanted some help and some, a few things, and he asked if he could come out, and I said, yeah, so he came out. And I told the Foots, I said, I would like a little bit of activity just so he can see I'm not as crazy as everybody thinks I am, you know. So he came out, and they were messing with my oven. They were messing with my water. We put our car keys on the hook for the keys. They took the keys. We couldn't go anywhere. I mean, they were opening and closing doors. They were just running across the front of the window. It was craziness. So he finally, when he went to leave, I was so mad because Pat had to go to work the next day. And I said, you guys have about 5 minutes. If I don't get those keys, I'm zapping everybody's ass I can find. I was so mad because we couldn't go anywhere. They had the keys.
Yeah.
I walked to my bedroom. I came out, and there they are hanging on the hook. I'm like, everybody
awesome.
Checked that hook. It wasn't there. I'm like, okay, you guys, that's fine. Thank you. I got them back. So next time when I do it, I'm going to specify what things are allowed to be done and what aren't, because we had a communication gap. I want activity, but I want positive activity. And they have a very warm sense of humor to begin with. Like, they really and truly do. They think a lot of things that are funny that just are not as funny as they think.
Yeah.
You know? But,
Well, I can tell you that when we were up at the Cherokee Comic-Con, and all of a sudden it was like 4 a.m. and I woke up and I had to go like get donuts and get coffee and everything. And I could not find my money. I could not find my bank bag. And I walked upstairs and I said, have you seen a bank bag? And the boy said, well, yeah, it's over there in the corner. I said, what do you mean? I said, I've never been there. He said, well, I don't know, but I was over there and I saw a bank bag and I didn't touch it because I didn't know whose it was. And they knew me. And so I walked over there, and there was my bank bag. All the money was in it. And obviously, and I called Robin. Robin, what in the hell is going on? And, you know, she said, Robin said, you know, they just were playing a little bit of a joke on you.
Yeah,
and I said, tell them don't do that anymore. Jesus, I was scared to death. Sonia, you're in the entertainment business. You know how it is. If you lost all your money and you're trying to run an event, it would scare you to death, right?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Absolutely.
I was petrified.
Yeah. They have a wicked sense of humor. They go and they sit. My house is built like 5 feet off the ground for hurricanes and stuff. It's a stick built house, but it's still off the ground 5 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And they will go and sit under these windows. And my windows are 5 feet off the ground, but they're another 5 feet tall. And so they'll sit there and they'll wait till the cats are sitting in the window. And then all of a sudden you see this big, huge, hairy arm just come up from underneath and smack that window. And the cats just fly like somebody tossed them through the air. And then you can hear them laugh. I'm like, this is not funny. Like, do not pick on the cat.
Yep.
It's amazing. Well, all I've got to say is I want to thank both of you for being on here tonight. Robin is my co-host. Sonia is our guest. And you ladies have been absolutely wonderful. And I really can't thank you enough. It's been just, honestly, it's been about as entertaining as a show as I've ever had, because I just got to listen, and it was so much fun. So all I got to say,
well,
number one.
Well, thanks for having me on.
Well, and I'm glad I was here to talk to Sonia again. And I'm telling you, we've got to get together, girlfriend. You're not that far from me. You're going to have to come for the weekend and let all the craziness ensue.
Sonia, you'll
see
it.
We'll get John here. We'll just hang out.
It is for real. And you know what we'll do? We're also going to call up Rob Kellum, Maestro. We're going to get him there, too. Because I tell you, he's such a good guy, and we're going to have a good
time.
Absolutely, and thank you. So I wanted to say, on behalf of everybody on ScaryCast, the co-hosts of the season, which are Robin, Devin McCray, and Devin Tate, and me, just thank you so much. And Sonia, you have been a wonderful guest, and we look forward to having you back again. Will you come back?
Yeah, definitely.
You promise?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you. You're a wonderful, wonderful guest. And we've had
it was
just,
wonderful
I'm
being
sorry,
on
we
again, Sonia.
I'm sorry. We have laughed too much. And so thank you so much. And on behalf of everybody, thank you for being here for Scary Ass. The scariest.
Take care, everyone.
45 minutes.
All right.
In the
bye,
world.
Guys.
Bye, guys.
Bye.